It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 672. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. The show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial, or you can go directly to Instant House Call at instanthousecall.com. I have a jam-packed show, and in the chat just a second ago, a lot of participants here want to hear about the Microsoft deactivation problem of Windows 10. I knew it was happening. I haven't had clients, at least so far yet, that have complained about it. I'm going to do some research on it, see what's going on, and maybe do a quick show over the weekend about it. I have had so many problems this week, client issues, where I've been, my whole company, me, my son, and Ken, have been like deep into the weeds that it's content for future shows. I didn't even have time to put any of that together because I have all this great content from a couple weeks ago and something I'm going to cover tonight. I'm going to cover getting VoIP phones working behind a home Verizon router. Then I also going to talk about VirtualBox and why I had to get XP running on it. Driver updates have been an issue. Working for a law firm doing forensic on an iPhone and the software I used to get the data to help a client win a case. And then I got several other things. Let's see if I have time to get to it. So first, let's begin with a client for a long time. They have net carriers set up in the office, but they want to be able to have a VoIP phone behind their router. And I have several clients that needed this, but there's a problem with the home Verizon Quantum Gateway router. You cannot disable SIP ALG. Verizon says you can't disable it, so you can't receive inbound phone calls on a VoIP handset, which makes no sense why they can't do that, because they have that option in the same router, but for business, because of course businesses have to, you have to be able to do that. So tonight, for the first time, my client could not take it anymore and beat up Verizon to the point where they got a tech to describe a workaround. She sent me the email and said, is this feasible? Can we do this? I said, absolutely. And I sent Mike, my son, Michael Jr., out. I was on the phone. And tonight, we got this working, and this is what we did. So there's a Quantum Verizon Gateway router. The first thing that you have to do is obviously buy a third-party router. But you have to buy a third-party router that has an option to disable SIP ALG. You have to be able to have that option to make this all work. Well, my client had an ASUS router that we had set up as an access point right beside the Verizon router. So here's the key. Disconnect everything from the Verizon router except the WAN setting. Go in and change the LAN IP subnet. The default's 192.168.1.1. We changed it to .2.1 and then let DHCP go. This is important for televisions that are connected via the coax in order to get on-demand content, because you have to have internet, and that's why that router you have to have still in place. Now, we took the ASUS router, which was set up as an access point, and made it a router. Now, you may not have to do that with a regular router. Then you unplug the Ethernet WAN connection from the Verizon router, and you connect it to the WAN connection of your third-party router. Now, you go into the third-party router, and you make sure all your IPs and DHCP is set. So we made sure it was 192.168.1.1, and we made sure that we have a couple static printers behind this, so we don't want to have to mess with that. So we excluded the range that we had for any static IPs. So now we have DHCP set for this home system from .10 to go all the way up to .254. That was tested and working. Now, here's the key. You connect a network cable from the LAN port of the third-party router to the WAN port of the Verizon. So now the Verizon is a secondary router off the LAN of the third-party router. Now you go into the third-party router and whatever the instructions are for that router, and you disable SIPALG. So you'd have to Google that for whatever brand you have. We plug in the VoIP handset, working perfectly. Inbound, outbound calls. You can have a VoIP handset behind the Verizon router, which I knew of no other way to do that beforehand. And it does make sense. And you figure, geez, I should have figured that out on my own. I have four other clients that are going to love this suggestion. One I already called and scheduled next week. Can't wait. Because these are small business owners or high up in the company that they want to extend the VoIP phone system to their home office. So they want their office phone in their home to ring as the extension of their office phone. And they can send and receive phone calls without having to leave their home office. The ability to work from home, or in some cases, I have clients that want to use the soft phone, which is just a headset and software on their laptop, but they couldn't receive inbound calls because they're behind a Verizon router. Now, if they were behind Comcast, it's not a problem. So this is a very specific Verizon problem. And if you're in that situation, this is the solution. I can't wait to deliver that to other clients, and I will be a hero. So I wanted to share that. That was big win tonight. VirtualBox by Oracle is a free virtual system that you could put on Mac, Windows, Linux, and you can then have a virtual operating system. There's a piece of equipment that they have to do a calibration and get settings on this monster machine at one of my clients, that the manufacturer, thermoforming company, they manufacture the internals plastics for airplanes, all the plastic, like, you know, the seat tray and everything. Well, they manufacture it. That's one of my clients. They have to do this calibration and settings. The software only works with Windows XP. Well, we have no XP systems on site. So we took a laptop running Windows 10, put VirtualBox. I happen to still have an XP media and some XP licenses, which was great. It's always good to have them around. And I installed XP. Then we had to make sure we got the right driver because they have this USB cable. And we got to make sure that the USB is being available from the host, Windows 10, through to the virtual operating system. We then had to install the software, got it running, connect it, and that saved the day. So this way, we didn't have to get an old computer and get XP running because they're rarely going to do this. So we just got a company laptop that we were able to put VirtualBox. And this is a great way to solve certain issues. There's a client that literally has a piece of equipment that they literally monitor and maintain it with Windows 98. I'm not making that up. if you need to go backwards and you don't want to dedicate a machine, doing this virtually is a great idea. And VirtualBox is free. You don't even have to buy VMware anymore. Well, you do. There's lots of great things that VMware can do. But for something quick, dirty to get an operating system up and running, look at VirtualBox, and that link will be in the show notes. Another Verizon story. This was interesting. So I got a referral for a small law office that has a multifunction, matter of fact, that's a Sharp copier, printer, scanner in their office. And I actually got this referral from the company that sells them and leases them, because their network people had trouble where they can get it scanning back to these couple Macs, but occasionally it would stop. And they would have all sorts of networking issues that the guys on the ground trying to figure this out and fix it could not fix it. So they said, Mike, can you go and take a look at this? Last week, I went in, and the first thing I did, I see the Verizon business router for the Fios sitting on the one attorney's desk. And what's nice about Verizon is they have various admin passwords that they randomly make up, and they put the sticker on it. So as long as nobody's changed the password from what's on the sticker, I can get into the router. And the first thing I look at is, what are the static IP addresses? And one was 1.10, another one was 1.11, and I noticed the printer was 1.20. Well, wouldn't you know it? The router had DHCP giving out from 1.2 to 1.254 for the DHCP range. And this is one of the fundamental problems that I see with anybody that's hooking up and working with static IP addresses. They forget to exclude the range of the static IP addresses that they're handing out. So the first thing I do is go, I look at all the IPs in question, and then I log in and I said, you know what, this is such a small office, I'm going to go from .100 to .254. So that means everything between .2 and .99 in the subnet are available to me. Then I go and I double check those IP addresses. Then I check the IPs that are listed in the address book from scanning. Well, what do you know? I get everything working except one Mac. Well, this Mac happened to be redone and upgraded to Mojave. And one of the things you got to be aware of when you set up sharing and permissions on the Mac, you also have to, once you get the share and once you decide who the credentials are for who's going to log in, that's an account on that Mac, I had to make sure I knew that password, because now I have to set the address book on the scanner, multifunction machine. I have to now put the exact path of that share and the credentials of that user. And then I made sure that user had permissions to read write to that share. I then had to turn on SMB. Best way to do that, if you need that on a Mac, is Google that based on the Mac version that you are looking at. Now, for those non-Mac people, the way to determine that is click on the Apple and pick About This Mac. And I'm looking at mine right now to the right, and mine is Mojave, which is version 10.14. It's important for when you're researching something about that operating system, you want to make sure you got the right version, because things change. When they hit version 10, then it was 10.10, 10.11, 12, 13, 14. So now we're at the nickname Mojave for the latest OS. And that has been wreaking havoc on a couple clients. I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but there is a problem with certain iMacs not having any networking capability after they've upgraded Mojave to Mojave. That's a whole nother story. I can literally do a show on that. But just something I wanted to mention about setting up the shares. And that was a great victory, because I went in and killed it, got that working, got the scanning. Now, that means I picked up a new client, and I'm a hero to this company that, even though they have their own networking department, couldn't solve this. So this is the second time I've saved them with their clients. And it's great because that'll just get me more work. And I love that. Know your networking. Understand. Anybody that's in this business right now, maybe you're just starting or you know someone, you got to understand the networking, the subnets. You got to understand the default gateway, DNS. The fundamentals of networking is so important to get any device to talk to any other device. It is critical in what we do. And with your ability to be able to go in there and quickly resolve things, I wasn't going to get into this, but here's what happened last Thursday. And this actually wasn't why there was no show. That was a whole different story for Thursday night. But Thursday morning, I'm at a client, brand new client, property management company. As a matter of fact, last week, I had 5 new business opportunities for referrals for new business. And that was phenomenal. Really needed that. I'm in this property management company. They're having all sorts of Wi-Fi problems. I'm in the basement. They also have offices. What a mess. Oh, what a mess. I plug into one switch just to see what I get, what I'm getting. And they keep talking that they have Verizon. I'm plugged into a Comcast network. It is clearly Comcast. They keep saying Verizon. I don't see Verizon. I determined that that router is for the tenants and the residential. Because when I do a network scan after I'm connected, I'm seeing Xboxes and other things. I'm like, okay. So now, where is the Verizon router? I don't see one. There's a Linksys router. I plug into the back, and that's the Verizon connection. But where is the ONT? This is where the fiber connection comes into the building. Well, it's upstairs by the receptionist. Even though I'm staring at 3 different Verizon boxes mounted with ONTs on a wall, none of them were activated. There was another ONT literally upstairs and then an Ethernet wire coming back down to this Linksys router. Now they said, you know, Verizon sent a bunch of equipment that we haven't hooked up yet. I see 2 Verizon routers and an extender. Long story short, I replaced that Linksys router after I get all the settings and then put the Verizon router in place, get the Wi-Fi going properly, make sure everything's working. It's still a wiring mess, but it's working and everybody can connect. So that was another great save yesterday where my bookkeeper was on site. And that's where I got the referral because he noticed the printing problems, the QuickBooks problems, and said, you need my network guy to come down here and sort things out. And then I'm waiting to hear back from them. I mapped out what I want to see for the solution. We need just 2 more lines, 2 more access points into key areas, and access points with lots of Ethernet connections on the back so we can start going wired to some of the devices in these other 2 offices. I quickly did my recommendation and they're trying to get that approved so I can get back in there and get this work done. Another referral from a friend of a client, their trouble was drivers. I logged into their system and there was the base drivers. There was a, you know, exclamation point. I don't know what happened, but there was like 3 or 4 items and they couldn't plug in their iPhone anymore. It wouldn't be recognized. I'm glad the network driver was working and I was able to connect via instant house call. I downloaded my driver Max. Then I have a license. I have an unlimited license because I buy it per year, activate it with my account, and then I remove it when I'm all done. I let that install and there were 20 different drivers that it just quickly update it. Once all the drivers are done, reboot it, connect it automatically with instant house call. Problems all fixed. Half hour, in and out. I know there's been pluses and minuses discussed with Driver Max. I have not had issues and I still love it. So knowing that and the resistance to Driver Max, I'm putting a link also tonight for Snappy Driver, because I think that's a very popular free driver program that's been recommended. So I'm going to put that up. I get a call from one of my attorneys for a long time retainer client. As a matter of fact, they were my second client 10 years ago, and they're still with me. And it's a nice law firm in Center City, Philadelphia. I get a call from one of the partners and says, Mike, I have in my possession an iPhone 6 from a client. It was dropped in water. The screen's cracked, but it dried out, he said, and it can turn on. I need every text message and voicemail from that phone. Can you do it? I said, absolutely. If it's locked, I need the passcode. So my son goes down, picks it up. I get the phone, and the passcode he gave me would not work. And you know, after a couple tries, Apple will defer and keep putting a longer time limit before the next time you can try. I did it a couple times. It didn't work. I said, you got to get me that code. Took a day or two. He got me the code. So now what I'm going to talk about is a program. I think it's like $39. It's not that much money. And it's called Touch Copy. Now, I hadn't used it since version 12 a couple years ago. So now they're up to version 16. And I think they only wanted $20 for me to upgrade. And I gladly did it. So now I have the latest version of Touch Copy. I have the code. I wire the iPhone to my desktop. It detects. I launch Touch Copy. I get all the photos. I get every text message. I get the voicemail message that is a .arm. And VLC, I have as my default audio player, that played it with no trouble. There were 80 voicemail messages. This was tremendous. I took everything. I texted my client, the attorney, and he said, Mike, can you get me that as soon as possible? I said, how about in the morning, I log in, I remote in with you, and I download everything. So I zipped up everything on my machine and put a password on it. I then put it in a private area on my website that I could then remote in via instant house call, opened the browser, downloaded the zip file, unzipped it for him. He was just so happy. I log out. I don't think anything of it. Hey, it's just, that's what I do. You know, I retrieved everything for him. It's a client. He's a retainer client. I helped them out. I get a text message an hour later. You won my case for me. That was awesome. Just made my day. Knowing that I was able to do that and just using a piece of software, if you ever have to really extract everything, and there's a lot more options than what I'm even discussing here, if you need to grab everything from an iPhone, but you got to have the passcode, and that's called Touch Copy. And I don't know where I ran into that a couple years ago on a recommendation, and it served me well and other clients back then. And I haven't had to dust that software off and try it in a while. And so having the ability to be able to do that and help a client win a case, that's just awesome. And that just solidifies me with being a retainer till they're there or till I'm around, which is nice. That's actually part of what I try to do here, is share the stories and possible software that can help you keep, win a client, whatever it takes. And that's why I had all of this written down that I needed to share before I even talk about the this week has just been unbelievable problems. There's one nagging problem that I haven't been able to resolve. And then there's a few victories where I've been able to fix the problem. QuickBooks. You know what? I'm going to take a moment here. What a pain in the butt, QuickBooks. Every few weeks, I am surprised with a new error and an issue. Here's this one, but it's not QuickBooks' fault. It's a user fault. I get this error message, that a screenshot of the error message every time one of the users and one of my clients, another property management company, he's having trouble getting into certain files. And files that he's having trouble getting into, I escalated this code with my bookkeeper who has premium support access. He's a QuickBooks advisor. So it's great having a friend like that, that I can pass on errors and he can escalate. So I get some great feedback from QuickBooks on things to try. One of the things is take a look at the file name and make sure there's no space before the period .qbw, making sure there's no space. Well, that got me looking at the files that he's having trouble. There was a double period. So it was the name of the file, .qbw. Now, I don't know how that happened. It would have to be a user saving it incorrectly and typing that. I don't know how, but I do know when I got everybody out of the files, I renamed the file on the server. Problem went away. But just another issue that I have never ran into before with QuickBooks. 90% of my clients use QuickBooks Pro. Different various versions going from 2014 upward, because you need that as a minimum for if you're Windows 10. I talk about QuickBooks a lot because there's lots of issues, and I hope that that resonates with some of you and helps you when you run into these problems and things to look for. Like when those services, that solved having a service for recovery, first, second, and third, to try to restart the service, that has solved my multi-user problems with clients that have servers. And just having that service restart like that solved the problems. I'm getting less calls on QuickBooks multi-user problems. So when you have QuickBooks and it's a single user, it's a piece of cake. And if it's only on the one machine, you know what? I'll never have tech support calls on that. But once you go into multi-user mode and you now have that database server manager program running, that's when it gets ugly with QuickBooks, because they may do the accounting very well and the program is good, but they do a lousy job at networking. You have to be on the ball, on your toes when you're managing that multi-user environment. And that's where most of my clients reside, in that, where they have, you know, three users, four users that are simultaneous. And that's when it gets ugly. So wanted to share that. What else we got here? Interesting on the uptick of Mac work, because I even have additional Mac work from the one property manager when I was there. One of the employees has his own Mac and has and had trouble. And that is another story where the system was infected. I used Malwarebytes for the Mac, fixed everything, got them up and running. I'm really seeing that more of an uptick all of a sudden with some Mac work. As that continues to happen, I will share my stories as I go down that path of supporting the Macs. I don't intend to take on a lot more unless it's available. And I know enough that I can navigate through some basic problems like the networking issues, and I can do some tuning and I can do some cleanup. I do no hardware work. Any hardware work on the Mac, I have a person that I know in the Philadelphia area that does that specifically for out of warranty work on all Macs, and he works on iPhones and can fix screens and replace them. He's the one who put the solid state drive in my 27-inch iMac I have here. And it's nice to be able to have someone to send your clients to that's reliable. And the final story here, I sent Ryan there with his iMac 20-inch that is very old. I think it's over 10 years old. His hard drive died. My friend Matt put in a solid state drive for him, and it's flying. Ryan, very, very happy with that. He picked it up this past weekend, so that was great. I hope that I could be back to a regular schedule now, and I hope to be back next Thursday at the same time. What is the best way to say thank you and help supporting the show? Go to the Amazon link at miketechshow.com. It's in the show notes for every show. Click on that link when you are going to make a purchase from Amazon. And right now, I believe Amazon is offering free shipping from now to the end of the year, and you don't even have to have Prime for the holidays. Take advantage of that. Buy all your Christmas gifts and presents, even if it's a gift card. Use that link, and it helps support Carrie Holzman and myself. That is the best way to show your support, and really want you to abuse that link for the holidays. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Carrie and I. Also, Instant House Call, instanthousecall.com. Check out the 15-day free trial. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. You will love it for all your remote access needs. Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. Just a lifesaver. Week after week, we constantly use it and just love it. Thank you so much. That's it. I'll see everybody here next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.